I think it's important if you embark on a journey to know a certain certainty that everything is going to work out okay. Especially when you've never taken that journey before and there's uncertainty and you wonder how it's going to all work out. The transfiguration is certainty to the disciples, especially the inner circle, that everything will work out on Calvary. The transfiguration shows Christ in his true nature, that he is God, that he is God of God and light of light. He's very God. But during his earthly ministry, it's often hidden, especially when he goes to another mountain, Calvary. It's there on another mountain between two other men that his glory is hidden. Just got back from Israel, seventh time, almost 30 people with me, and I spent a lot of time assuring people that everything was going to be okay, that there was nothing to be afraid of, it's just a routine, it will be fine, and that it takes faith. It takes faith to get on a plane and go somewhere you've never been before. It takes faith to listen to a person who has been there before. It takes courage to venture out to see sights that most people would be afraid to see. But you assure them, and you let them know that everything is going to be fine. I think that is exactly what happened in today's Old Testament lesson. God had chosen Moses to be the leader, brought the people out of Egypt using the hand of Moses, many miracles, and then Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land. He's in Jordan. He's on the Mount of Nebo. He looks over into the Jordan, past the Dead Sea, into Jericho, into the Promised Land. And it's almost like God is saying to Moses, the journey was worth it. The journey was worth it, and everything is going to be okay. Don't worry. Joshua will come after him, and the people of God will enter into the Promised Land. It's almost like Moses is given a glimpse, an epiphany, if you will, that everything will be okay, everything will be fine, and they have nothing to worry about at all. So then we go to today's gospel. Jesus goes up to a high mountain. Tradition tells us that it's Mount Tabor. It's in the Jezreel Valley next to Nazareth. Most likely Jesus would have known the mountain because it stands out like this big bell-shaped mountain with no foothills. And it's just there in your face. And so Deborah, she celebrated a great victory for Israel at the foot of that mountain. And that mountain has a very special history for the people of Israel. And it's this mountain that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to this high mountain. We were there last week. I will tell you, it's a great journey. I can't imagine even walking up the mount of it. We stopped with our bus, then we got little taxis, and we circled around and round. It seemed like forever until we got to the top of the mountain. And at the top of the mountain, there's a Franciscan church, which is in three compartments. The man who designed it wanted to portray Jesus and Moses and Elijah in this chapel, in this church. Even on the pavement, there's a diamond or a square and two other geometric shapes representing Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And so tradition says that this was the mountain that Jesus took his inner circle up to. And it was there while he was praying, before his exodus, before his departure, that Moses and Elijah appear next to him. And they're talking about his exodus, his departure. And then Peter wakes up and he says, I know what to do. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then a cloud just comes to them, envelops them, and a voice from heaven says, this is my son, listen to him. And then the cloud disappears, and so does Moses, and so does Elijah, only leaving Jesus there. And they tell no one of this. Well, my question for you this morning, does this sound familiar? Sure. You probably heard it last Transfiguration Sunday. But does it really sound familiar? Well, to someone who is Jewish, absolutely. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament? Moses goes up a mountain, and what does he do? He takes three companions with him. And it's there on the mountain that a cloud envelops them. and a voice is heard. It's the same story. So the story is teaching us that this is one who will follow after Moses, one who is over the house of God as a son, not as Moses was. This is the incarnate one. This is deity. This is divine sonship, making known his glory, manifesting in an epiphany that this is the Son of God. Now, why would they have to see that? Well, I think anytime you embark on a journey, you need some kind of assurance that everything is going to be okay. Especially when the journey is unknown and you don't know how it's going to end up, and you're a little afraid if everything is going to be okay. Jesus is going to go down that mountain, and he's going to face another mountain. And that mountain is Calvary. It's there he's going to be stripped of his white robe. It's there that he's going to be naked. It's there that he's going to be humiliated. It's there that he's going to be rejected by the people of God, Israel in particular. It's there that he's going to be between two people, not Moses and Elijah, but two thieves. It's there that it's going to be darkness and not great light, not great glory. And for most people who don't have faith, they would look at this as defeat. They would look at this as, why did this happen to our leader? Why is it that our leader has been rejected? Why is it that our leader has been put on this cross? And many people would think that this was a disaster. Many people would think that this was not victory, but was defeat. And so what Jesus is doing on Mount Tabor is he's showing his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, that he is the Christ, and that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. He assures them on that mountain that what happens on the other mountain is in his divine care. And that even though it looks like defeat, even though it looks like a disaster, even though it doesn't match up with most people's reality of how things should be, nevertheless, God is in control. I think there's another message that we can glean from this morning, and that is this. That suffering and transfiguration or transformation happen together. You can't have one without the other. You know, we'd love to live on the mountaintops, wouldn't we? We'd love to have everything go perfect and everything be grand. And to be like Peter and say, let us just dwell here. Three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And not face the uncertainty of going down that valley into the Jezreel Valley, into Jerusalem, to face something that we don't want to face, which is death. But my dear brothers and sisters, every single one of us here have to face that in one day. I don't know when, but one day death will come knocking on our door. And it's through faith in Christ, in the one who has been transfigured on that mountain, that comes to us in his word and in the sacraments, specifically what we celebrate this morning in the Lord's Supper, that gives us hope. That in the midst of darkness, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of depression, in the midst of things that we don't understand, or in the midst of even death, we know that Christ is with us, no matter what we face, no matter what the uncertainty. That we know, as Moses was given a glimpse from Mount Nebo, from the Jordan, and I got to see that last week, that we know that as he was given comfort, as he was given assurance that everything would be okay, as Peter, James, and John were given the same assurance. So here at Trinity, we also know that our Lord is with us, that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he comes to us constantly in his word. And his word never, ever changes. His word comes to us through the gospel, forgiving us of our sins, and he comes to us in the sacrament of the Eucharist. What looks like plain wine, what looks like plain bread to the ordinary mind or to reason would say this is just simply a meal. But to those who have been on the mountain, who know who Christ is in his divinity, know that this is more than just bread and wine. Know that this is more than just a feast or just a meal, but this is Christ who comes to us, and in the process of coming to us, He transforms us.